Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes again just to lift up the name of Jesus and just to reach the world for Christ. The subject tonight is angels. So, there's a lot of angels and a lot of different type of angels. But praise God, I'm glad that there's an angel that is a guardian over me. You know, and I thank God for it, and he's a guardian over you if you're a child of the King. So tonight, if you'd like to call in, be a part of this service, well, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. Call in and just be a part of this service with us, and we'll put you right on the line. We'll just worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and just have a great time in the Lord. And so that is Lloyd and Betty Yearwood reaching the world for Christ. And so we just want you to join in with us there to saving and just have a great time with the Lord. So call in on 310-742-1759. And I think we'll just go ahead and start it off this evening there maybe with a song and just worship the Lord in spirit and truth to this song. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm so thankful tonight that Ananias, you know, I tell you what, he said, tell me what kind of a man Jesus is. You know, I tell you, tonight that's what we're trying to do, is to tell the world what kind of a man Jesus is, what Jesus done for him. And I tell you what, tonight, my friend, if you don't know this Jesus that they were singing about there, and the one we're going to be speaking about there, I want you to try your best to understand who he is and what he is. He's a person, hallelujah, that come down from heaven and died on the cross that you and I could have this life. You know, if it hadn't been for Jesus, we wouldn't have no life at all. But praise God, I'm glad that he came down and he gave his life for you and I, that we might have life. Praise God, I'm glad that he said in him was the life of all men. Praise God, he brought the life with him whenever he come down here. The Father sent him down here from heaven as a babe. Praise God, he laid in a manger after he was born of a Virgin Mary. He laid in the manger for a while, and praise God, there wasn't no room for him in the inn. And I see today there's no room for Jesus in the inn, because people today still don't have no room to call upon the Lord. Praise God, I tell you, it's something to think about, that people don't have no desire to call upon the Lord. But, you know, my friend, praise God, I tell you what, it's a time that we find out the time that we need to call upon the name of Jesus. It's time that we need to cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, praise God. I see that we got a call in here, so praise God. 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother Green here in Springboro, Ohio, and me and my wife, Joanna. And we're just listening in. I guess we're not having church tonight, so we'll be listening into the program. Back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. We'll be using you here in a minute. Our subject tonight is on angels. And praise God, I tell you, the angel of the Lord. Praise God. There's so many of them. We can't miss. We just go to an angel. Praise God. So 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, Brother Roy. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. I'm sure glad you called in there, Brother John. Well, let's go ahead and let Brother Green and Sister Green go ahead and obey the Lord there. Then we'll get you in there, Brother John, to obey the Lord there, too.
All right.
So, Brother Green?
Yeah, okay. I know the subject tonight is on angels, and I've been doing a little studying on angels. It says, I was reading in a dictionary here, it says a messenger, an angel, is a messenger of God, one of an order of immortal beings, attendant on God, a spirit of evil, as a fallen angel. So we know that there are angels, and like you mentioned there a minute ago, there is many angels. We don't know how many. I don't think the Bible tells us. It tells us one place over there in Hebrews about an innumerable number of angels. And so we know that in the Bible the angels came down and they talked and walked with men and led many men in different areas, things that they had to do. And I was looking here in the book of Genesis chapter 19. The Bible said there that two angels, they came down to Sodom one day, and they came down there to take a look to see what was going on. They had been sent there by the Heavenly Father, and they came down to see if the cry of that place had been what they had heard. And so they came down to investigate. They came, before they came over there to Lot's house, and to the city where Lot was, they came to Abraham. And the Bible said that they ate. I believe they ate with Abraham. I'm pretty sure they did. I haven't read that in a little while. But I believe they ate with him. And, you know, angels can eat. I believe they can do things that men and women can do, a lot of things. They can't do everything that man can do, but they can impersonate and look like a man, come down in the likeness of men, but not in the... I don't believe they can get over into the flesh area, but they're a spirit. The Bible says angels are ministering spirits, and over there in the book of Hebrews, and I don't have that right with me right now, but it said, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And you know the story, how he brought them into his house, and the Bible said that after they came into the house, that he cooked his wife, I believe it was, cooked for them, praise God. And they had come to rescue him out of that wicked place. Abraham had interceded for Lot, and God came on the scene. I tell you, when we begin to pray, I believe that God will sometimes dispatch angels from heaven. Depending
Amen.
On what our need might be, praise God. If he can send somebody down the road, a brother or sister to meet our need, I believe he will. But if he needs to send an angel, I'll tell you there's no limit on what God can do. God can do anything, praise God. When they went around those walls of Jericho, they needed something from God. And you know, they could have never took Jericho there, and I think it's the book of Joshua or Judges there, book of Joshua, I believe it is, where they went in and they took Jericho and they marched around that city. And you know, they had a problem. That city had great walls. And you know, in order for them to be able to take that city, they had to call on God. And I'll tell you, an angel came down there, praise God, came to Joshua. And Joshua didn't know who he was. But, you know, he told Joshua, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Same thing with Moses when he came to Moses there in the burning bush. When God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush, and he said, take your shoes off, Moses. Praise God, I'll tell you. It's good to be on the Lord's side and have an army behind us that can never be defeated. I tell you, they'd be more with us than they'd be against us, you know. We read in the Bible where that there was war in heaven, and Michael fought and his angels fought against the devil, which was a fallen angel. The Bible called him Lucifer, and it tells about him there, I believe, in Ezekiel or one of them books. Isaiah talks about how that he fell from his lofty place, and how that he took a third of the angels there in Revelation chapter 12, and they fought against the angels of God, and his place was found no more in heaven, and he was cast down. Now, I'll tell you what, those angels... they had a free will, I believe. They could choose whether they wanted to stay with God or they wanted to go with the devil. And Lucifer was, after that, he had fallen, was called the devil. Praise God. I thank God that we don't have to go that route. We don't have to fight against God. We don't have to be lost in the end. But those angels came to Sodom that day. And I tell you, they got him by the hand, got Lot by the hand, and they brought him out. Praise God. Praise God. I want to get Rachel over here. She's got a scripture she wants to read. It's in the book of Mark. Go ahead there, Rachel.
Mark 1, verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him.
Praise God. So that's Mark 1:13. I want to read that again. That's a good scripture. It says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. You know, Jesus, we're talking about Jesus right here, and the Bible said that the tempter came to him, and that was that wicked one, Satan, the devil, Lucifer. He's got all three of those names, the serpent. You know, he came to Jesus and tried to tempt him, tried to tell him, said to turn the rocks into stone, you know, if thou be the Son of God, you know. But, you know, he knew he was the Son of God, and but he wanted to tempt him. He knew that Jesus was hungry, and Jesus, no doubt, was thirsty, and he wanted to give him everything that he used everything he could. And, you know, the devil is a sly old fox, the Bible tells us, and he's the greatest fisherman probably that ever was underneath Christ, but he's a fishing for men in the wrong way. He's trying to take them out and take them into hell, and he's trying to get them in the lake of fire where the Lord does not want us to go. But, you know, when we go out to fish, we use a different kind of baits, and they call them angles. We're an angler. We use different angles, try to catch these fish, different baits and lures. And the devil's got all kind of enticing lures and things out there to try to get people on the devil's side. But the Lord is trying to rescue people, and he's trying to rescue them with the gospel that we're preaching tonight. We're preaching the gospel of salvation, that you can be on the Lord's side. You don't have to go and be lost. You know, I talked to a man one time at work, and I asked him if he thought he could be saved, and he said no, he didn't think he could be. He said, I could make a good stab of it, but I could never be saved. He was telling me he could never live it. But I'll tell you something, we can't live this by ourselves. We must get a hold of God. We must get down and get a hold of God. You know, Moses would have never went to Pharaoh's house and said, let my people go, if he hadn't had an encounter with God one day on the side of that mountain. And the Bible said an angel spoke out of that bush, praise God, over there. I believe it's in Acts chapter 7. It talks about that. And I might just turn over there, praise God, and say something about it. But I'll tell you, God is wanting people to have an encounter with him. He wants people to find out that angels are real, that God is real, and the Spirit of God is real. He don't want people to be out there wandering around with no shepherd and no light, and wandering in darkness and ending up in the lake of fire. But he wants them saved and born again by the Spirit of God. That's why he sent Christ and sent him into that wilderness to overcome the devil, and he overcame him there in that wilderness. And the Bible said after that the angels came and ministered unto him, and I believe they strengthened him. You know, in the book of Daniel, Daniel had fasted, I believe it was 21 days, and an angel came down and helped him and gave him the revelation that he was seeking for. And the Bible tells us there that there was war going on in heaven at that time, in the heavenlies. There was war. And, you know, we get things from God, but we get them through prayer, fasting, and seeking God. And sometimes the devil is hindering our prayers, and we must hold our ground and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We got to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how salvation comes. But I also believe healing has to come the same way, because it comes by faith. Praise God. Let me turn it back to you a minute, Brother Yearwood, so I can get my breath a little bit here.
Praise the Lord. Okay, we appreciate it. Well,
praise God.
We'll just let Brother John go ahead and obey the Lord there for a while and let you get your breath there.
Okay,
if you want
that'd be good.
Okay, Brother
All
John.
Right, thank you.
All right. Is Spring going to say anything?
What's that?
Sister Green.
Sister Green, she's back there with a headache. She's in the bed. Y'all pray for her. She may be getting up. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just going, but, if she's able, she can get on. But also, remember my wife tonight. She got the flu. So just remember her tonight. Amen. But we are talking about angels tonight. Amen. And God began to deal with me and begin to show me out of Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91 tonight. Praise the Lord. And Psalm chapter 91, starting with verse 1, says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, God tonight is our, when we live in the secret place, we're abiding in the protection, the divine overshadowing of the Lord God Almighty. And when we've been living there, He is our hiding place tonight. You know, the Scriptures teach us in Psalms chapter 17, I believe starting with verse 8, it says, "Keep me," this is a psalm of David, a prayer of David, amen, and he says in Psalms 17 and 8, it says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, for my deadly enemies who compass me about." So we are to be hidden, amen. God kept us, would keep us as the fruit of his eye. He would hide us under the shadow of his wings. We're under the divine shadow, the shadowing of the Lord God. He hides us from the wicked that oppress us. He hides us from the deadly enemies who compass us about. He says they are enclosed in their own fat. In other words, they have the worldly fullness. With their mouth they speak proudly. You know, the pride of life, the lust of eye, and the lust of flesh, amen, is of the world and not of the Father. Amen. But the Bible says a haughty spirit before a fall, and you need to know that this haughty spirit, amen, and they were talking, they begin to speak proudly. They begin to come out. And he said, "They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth." Verse 11, verse 12. "Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, as it were a young lion lurking in secret places." And David cried out, he said, "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down." You know, tonight God's going to disappoint your enemies. God's going to disappoint those that are coming against you. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to disappoint, amen, the enemy, the devil, amen, as Brother Green was speaking out. Amen. And even in that war and coming against you, "Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life." There are men that are full of this life only. Amen. You know, even as talking about, amen, when they brought Jesus Christ before Pilate, when he's in the Praetorium Hall, the Hall of Judgment. Amen. He asked him straightly if he was a king. Not only did he ask him if he was a king, but if this was his kingdom. And he said, "If this was my kingdom," he said, "I could straightly call 12 legions of angels," amen, and a legion of angels, 6,000 with the first forces with another 6,000 behind. He could have called 12 legions of angels, amen, but this was not his kingdom, amen. Amen, his angels would have come and fought for him. His servants would have came, but this is not, amen, his kingdom. This is the kingdom of this world. And he said, With the head treasure, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babe. And as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. David said, "I will behold the face of God in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." You know, he was wanting, amen, hallelujah, to come into that place, amen. And when he awake, amen, the very presence, the angel of the Lord, the presence of the Lord would be come before him, and that he would be satisfied, amen, when he saw the likeness of the Heavenly Father before him. You know, the Bible speaks of, I believe it's in Psalms 121, amen, it talks about, hallelujah, in Psalms 121, it says this, he says, "I will lift up my eyes, amen, unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." You know, the Lord God, amen, that's over us tonight. Amen. He will not allow our foot to be moved. He will not allow, amen. In other words, he's making his children, he's making the children of God unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. When the enemy comes against us, the help is coming from the Lord. The help is coming from the heaven. And just like Brother Green said, I believe it's in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, said that we've come into, amen, Lord in Mount Zion, amen. We've come into the firstborn, amen, which is Jesus Christ, unto the spirits of just men, unto an innumerable company of angels, amen. Hallelujah. And we've come, amen, coming forth. And he said, behold, verse 4 of Psalm 121, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Amen. And so he said, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. There's a divine overshadowing, and the Lord doesn't slumber. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, when it's talking about him that keeps Israel, neither sleeps nor slumbers, I'm reminded, amen, in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10, when Jacob, amen, was coming back, amen, unto Esau, Jacob the supplanter, amen, who had gotten the blessing and gotten, amen, the birthright, and amen, as he was coming back and returning, amen, the Bible says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Oh, church, tonight, Jacob had came to a certain place in the night. We've come to a certain place in Jesus. We've come to a place, amen. And the Bible says he tarried there all night because the sun was set. The sun was coming down, hallelujah. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And just like I read to you in Psalms 121, the Lord that keepeth Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. Man has to sleep or slumber, but he who is overshadowing you, amen, will never sleep or slumber. He'll be the shade upon thy right hand. He will preserve you going in and you're going out tonight. You need to know that neither night or day, some of you, amen, some of you, it's day or night, wherever we're speaking to you. Sometimes it, right now, as we're speaking to some of you, it's in the middle of the night. It's in the twilight hours. Some of you are even gone another day, amen, across the timeline. But we need to know that the Bible says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God, the messengers of God, ascending and descending on it. When he saw in his dream, he saw a ladder. It was called Jacob's ladder. It was going from heaven to earth. It was reaching, and that ladder was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Jacob's ladder. He is the Lord, that reaches up into the heaven and descends into the heart of the earth. And these angels were descending and ascending upon him. They were ministering spirits, just like Brother Green said earlier. The Bible says, amen, in Psalms 104, verse 4 and 5, are they not all ministering spirits to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? Talks about this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that's where it says, in Hebrews 1 and 7, it says, are they not all ministering spirits? And he makes it, ministers flames of fire. Amen. Then he talks about in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, he says, are they not all ministering spirits to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? Jacob was the heir of salvation. David was the heir of salvation. Tonight, if you're a believer, you are an heir of salvation. And his angels, whether it be celestial or whether it be terrestrial, Bible teaches us in the book of Corinthians that there are earthly angels and celestial angels, heavenly angels, that there are messengers, amen, amen, that go forth, amen, and even the angel of the Lord, it be a theophany, which is the angel of God's presence, is the incarnate, amen, many believe of God himself, or even also of the pre-incarnate of Jesus Christ, before he came upon this earth. So it is the power, when you see the angel of his presence, or the angel of the Lord, it speaks about many times, the Bible says that he that fear the Lord, the angel of the Lord, he camps round about them, Psalm 34, and believe, verse 7, I believe it is. It talks about Jesus said in Revelation 22 and 16, he said, I, Jesus, testify and send my angel that he shall testify that I am of the root and of the offspring of David. In other words, he is the beginning of David. He is the ending of David's generation and nativity. So we need to know that he's both the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has sent his messenger to let us know he's there in the beginning and he'll be there in the end. Excuse me. Tonight, amen, there are these angels, amen, camping round about. And tonight, as they said, and he said, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, in verse 13, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. He spoke to Jacob. You have to understand, amen, hallelujah. Later on, he would talk out of the bush, and he said, he would declare then, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here was a God. Here he appeared to him. Amen. He stood above the earth. Amen. At the head of the ladder. He makes us above only and not beneath. Amen. And he says, and thy seed, verse 14, shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He made a covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Isaac. He made a covenant with Jacob. Tonight he'll make a covenant with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can be, amen, ministered to. Amen. These that are coming and descending and ascending on Jacob's ladder. Hallelujah. He said, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places where thou goest. Amen. He's the divine over and shouting. The God, the Father said, I am with thee. Amen. The Lord said, I'm with thee even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I will keep thee in all places wherever thou goest. He's your preserving, just like it said there in Psalm. He's preserving you. He's keeping you. Surely the Lord is in this place. Let me tell you something to declare something tonight. Amen. As a messenger of God tonight, surely the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. There is none other but this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had cut for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, in other words, and poured oil upon the top of it. That pillar became a pillar, something that would be stationary, something more than just to lay your head on. It went from a pillow to something, amen, that would be built upon. Hallelujah. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Hallelujah. These are things, amen. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 6, 28-33. And all these things shall be added unto you. He said, don't be like the Gentiles who seek, amen, food and raiment. He said, take no thought for what you shall eat, because your life is more than food. Amen. Have you not considered, excuse me, the sparrow? That, amen, that the Lord, amen, considers the sparrow? Oh, tonight he knows what you have need of, church. I believe there's not one believer on this earth that should ever go hungry. Because according to the scriptures, David said in Psalm 37:25, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You need to know that as the prodigal son rose up in Luke chapter 15, he said, amen, when he came to himself, he said, even the servants in my father's house have more than enough bread to spare. Tonight you need to know that there's more enough to eat, amen. He will send down the bread from heaven. And the Bible says in verse 22, so that I come, or verse 21, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. This stone which I have set for a pillar, that shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. He had made a vow, and amen, and there he talked about in Genesis chapter 28, he talked about, amen, hallelujah, angels descending and ascending, amen, on the ladder. But you need to know, according to John chapter 1, starting in verse 44, it says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Oh, church, tonight, it's time for you to come and see. It's time for you to see. Hallelujah. That first angel, that first messenger, hallelujah, 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 the angel of his presence, hallelujah. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? In other words, where do you know me from? How do you know that I'm an Israelite without any guile? Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. You need to know tonight, church, the Lord has saw you. He saw Jacob when he was there in Bethel, laying asleep. Because why? Because the Lord that keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's awakened to the righteousness. He's the shade upon thy right hand. He's ministering to you tonight. And the Bible says, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Do you believe in me tonight? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Because he said he saw you from before you called. He said, Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open. Now this is Nathanael, amen, years later after Jacob, and the angels of God ascending on the Son of Man. You want to see angels minister? They ascend and descend on the Word of God. The Word of God descends. The Word of God is Jacob's ladder. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God going from heaven to earth. He is the one that is ascending up into heaven and the one descending unto the earth. And you need to know, amen, that these angels, these messengers are dispatching the Word of God, and they're ascending and ascending, just like it said in Genesis chapter 28, and just like it said in John chapter 1. Amen. They're descending and ascending on the Word of God. They're being dispatched. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. The Bible says, I believe it's in Psalms 107, verse 20. It says, He sent His Word to heal us. Amen. He has sent His Word and to deliver us. I believe it is. Let me turn over there real quick. Hallelujah. 107, verse 20. Amen. He says, He sent His Word and healed them. Amen. And delivered them from their destruction. Tonight, God is delivering us from destruction. He has sent His Word. Amen. To heal us. And that Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, going back to Psalms chapter 91, hallelujah, amen, verse 2, he said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. You need to know tonight, as Brother Green brought out, there is a snare, there's a trap. The snare of the fowler is a trap where the flying fowls, amen, will be caught. But God will deliver you because the enemy, your enemies of your soul, has laid a snare for you, a trap that you would fall in. Amen. Amen. From the noisome pestilence. There's a pestilence coming upon the land. But that noisome pestilence that's coming, these plagues that are coming upon the land, this sickness and disease that's coming upon the earth, amen. God said that He will surely deliver you from these and from the noisome pestilence. The Bible says He shall cover thee with His feathers. This is divine protection. In other words, that's actually, amen, Ibn. It means the hem of His garment. In other words, when you're abiding, amen, at His feet and standing in the shadow of the hem of the garment of the Master, He'll cover you, amen, just like a little bird is covered with its feathers. It's divine protection. That bird has to have those feathers. And tonight, we are covered by the feathers of God the Father, and it gives us divine protection. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckle. You need to know tonight, according to Ephesians chapter 6, that your loins will be girded about with the truth, and His truth will, amen, that as you walk in His truth. The Bible says in 1 John, He said, He had no greater joy that His children walk in truth. You can walk in the truth as you receive the message from the messengers, amen, the angels of God. He says, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid, verse 5, for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thousands shall fall at thy side. But church, tonight you've got immunity from all this, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I know some of you tonight don't believe this promise, but this promise is unto you tonight. Every one of these words of God is unto you. He said, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. God sends his messengers. God sends his ministering spirits. God sends his angels, his ministers that are flames of fire, to give charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Remember the stone that Jacob put there. Remember the pillar. Amen. And what they were saying is that the angels of God, the ministers of God, when they bear you up by the word of God and by the ministering spirit, the Bible says, I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 41, starting with verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed. How many? All that have come against you and incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. What's he saying, Brother John? He's saying that your enemy is going to be gone, that you're going to look for your enemy, and your enemy is going to be confounded and ashamed. You're going to look for your enemy, and you're not going to be able to find him, because he's upholding you with the right hand of his righteousness. Not only is he right, but he's sending his messengers tonight to bury you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone, lest you dash your foot against, amen, that which would destroy you. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, thou shalt seek for them, amen, that continually, they that war against thee shall be as nothing as the thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying to thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountain. In other words, he's going to come and make you invincible. He's going to turn around and make you a threshing instrument. And you're going to come against these mountains, these hindrances. He said in Isaiah 40, verse 3, amen. He said, make you way in the desert. Prepare you a way of the Lord. Amen. He said, make your path straight, a highway in the wilderness. And then he said in verse 4, he said that was paraphrasing Isaiah 43. Isaiah 44 said, that every mountain and every hill shall be brought down, every valley shall be exalted, every crooked place shall be made straight, and every rough place shall be made plain. The ways of a righteous man shall be made plain. God will turn away all the undergrowth. God will turn away all the enemy. And he said, thou shalt, amen, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them. In other words, you're going to fan the mountains, you're going to fan the hills, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. We need to know tonight that the angels of the Lord are bearing us up, lest we dash our foot against the stone. He said, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. You know, I believe it's somewhere in Psalms 44 and 5, I believe it is. It says, by thy name shall we tread an enemy. The scriptures teach us in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and thou shalt tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Amen. These angels of the Lord are lifting you up. The Bible says, amen. He said, verse 15 of Psalms 91, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him thy salvation. The Bible says, I believe it's in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, amen. It talks about, amen. He says in verse 57, he says, as the living Father has sent me, and as I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. In other words, when you consume the bread of life, which is the word of God, you're going to live by that word of God. He said, this is that bread which coming down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured of it, and it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Tonight, does it offend you to eat the word of God? Does it offend you to take on the word of God and eat the word of God? Then he shall see the Son of Man, verse 62, ascend up where he was before. In other words, if you've seen the Word of God where it was before, you know, it's come down and he was made flesh and dwelt among us. Many people looked upon him but not as a messenger, not as a amen, hallelujah, not as the Son of God. They looked at him as Joseph's son. And the Bible says, it is the Spirit, verse 63, that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. You have to understand tonight that every word of God is bread of life. And the word of God that is the bread of life tonight gives you, and just as Brother Green already brought this out, Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to give you a few scriptures in Matthew chapter 4, then I'm going to give back to Brother Yearwood. And the Bible says this. Then was Jesus led up of the wilderness, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was the very reason. I thought it said in the Word of God that God tempted no man. Amen. With evil. But he was led by the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. This was truly the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. We find, amen, tonight, hallelujah, as he come, he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Father to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Tonight we need to know the Lord knew what was written, and the tempter come to rest the scriptures. Amen. But he knew that he could not live. He had that power. He had the ability to turn these stones into bread. But that was God the Father had told him to go in the wilderness and fast. And then when he came out of the wilderness, he would come and he would be tempted. He would be tried by the enemy. Church, at your weakest hour, amen, you will be tried by the enemy. But God will send his grace. God will send his mercy. God will send his word. God will send the message unto you. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Temple of the temple is the highest part of the temple. But what did the Lord say out of John chapter 6? Here was a bread. Here was one that came out of heaven. Here was the one that had ascended. The highest place in this earth would be below where he had came from. And the Bible said he took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, the very top part of the temple, and said, thou be the Son of God. Cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. But at any time thou dost thy foot against the stone. In other words, catch yourself down from the temple. When you catch yourself down, the angels will come and bear you up, and bear your feet up, that you won't dash against the stone at the foot of the temple. That won't become a stumbling block. That won't cause you to fall. Jesus said that it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, tonight, amen, as Pilate wrote upon him and said, the King of the Jews. And the Pharisees and the chief priests went to him and said, rewrite this. And write over him that he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what is written is written. Tonight, church, what is written is written. And the message is being given to you by the angels. And the angels are ascending and ascending on the Son of Man. You know, I thought about that. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, many years ago, I was on a 40-day fast, came, and I got called by some pastors in another city, a nearby city, and they were feeding the homeless. Went over there, their theme of the feeding the homeless was Isaiah 58, where is it to not to deal, 58 and verse 10, I believe it is, says, and if thou draw thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. verse 7, I'm sorry. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, and thou cover them, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? In other words, the fast that God has chosen in Isaiah 58, he said, you're to take your bread, you're to take your food, and give it to the hungry. And even if the Lord would have made these stones bread, which he wouldn't, because he knew that man doesn't live by those stones. He didn't live by those stones. What had kept him in the wilderness? His word. What had kept him in the wilderness? His spirit. What had kept him? It was the bread of life. Amen. He was the Father of life. This was the Son. And what the Father had, all that the Father has in John chapter 16, he gave to the Son. I mean, while he was in the wilderness, God, the bread that would not sustain and give life to Jesus. The bread of this earth, of this life, will not sustain you. But the bread that comes down from heaven, that the Father will give you, you shall live. Not only live, but live eternally. He already said, your fathers did eat this bread and are dead. The Lord Jesus Christ has ate this bread and is alive. And not only him, but all of us that will eat of this bread and drink of this cup and drink of his blood. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, again, the devil taking them up to the exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him. The Bible says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil. Humble thyselves in the sight of God. Thou be the Son of God. You know, he could have proved himself, but he didn't. You know how he proved himself? By not heeding. How do you prove yourself that you're children of God tonight? Not heeding to the fallen angel. Not heeding to that dragon. Not heeding to that red dragon who drew a third of the stars with his tail. But the heeding, amen, to the Lord God Almighty. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Amen. That tells me one thing. Oh, he's the heir of salvation. Tonight, are the angels ministering to you? Is this word ministering to you tonight? It's the message. Amen. There are celestial angels and trustworthy angels, according to Corinthians. Tonight, you know what? When you turn into this broadcast, let brotherly love continue. Why? Because you're entertaining angels unaware, because they have come to give you the message tonight. The message is from heaven. The messengers might be from the earth, but the Spirit of God has come here. And when the enemy comes and tempts you with the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them, just say, it is written, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Tonight we'll serve only the Lord God. He's sending his angels. He's sending his messengers. And have you received the message? He's given his angels charge over thee. Amen. That excites me tonight, that the angels, the messengers of God, whether they be celestial or terrestrial, are bearing me up, that tonight, when I go, I'll not dash my foot against a stone. I'll not stumble and fall, but I'll be bare up, and I won't be able to find my enemy, and I won't be able to find Satan, and I won't be able to find those that have come against me, and I'll be preserved, because tonight I'm abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Go ahead, brother. You would.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. It's a wonderful word of God there. So, T, if you're out there and you're hearing this tonight, and I believe you are, you just need to take heed to what thus saith the word of God and the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says, them that have a ear, let them hear what the Spirit saying to the church today. So the Spirit is speaking today, and so you need to take heed to it and repent and serve the Lord. So, Brother Green?
Yeah.
You ready to come back,
Sister
Green?
Sister Joanna said she didn't have anything tonight, so I'll...
Okay.
You want me to go ahead, or you got more callers?
Just go ahead.
Okay. I was talking, preaching a little bit on Moses, and I was telling about how he came to the burning bush, and an angel of God spoke through that bush, and it was the voice of God that was coming through that angel. Praise God.
Amen.
I guess that's the way it was, Brother Yearwood. I don't know any other way to put it. you know, we got radios and televisions, and you know, we can turn on a radio and somebody's on the other end talking, preaching, or singing or whatever. You can hear that voice of that person that's doing that singing and that preaching and testifying. You can hear that voice through that their radio. Praise God. And I think God puts his voice many times. He's got something to say. He sends his angel. Praise God. And that angel preaches to you. I know one time or several times I've been laying in the bed and it seemed like somebody was speaking in my ear. It seemed like, you know, I was getting these scriptures were rolling over and over and over, and it's coming one right after the other. And, you know, I kind of believe that it's an angel. Praise God. You know, the Bible talks about the angels that was sent to the different churches there in the book of Revelation. And I know some people say that they are the minister, praise God, the pastor. But I tell you, they're going to have to get their message from heaven. They can't get it any other way. If they're going to be effective in the ministry of God, they're going to have a, excuse me, they're going to have a connection with the Heavenly Father, and they're going to have to be they're going to have to be aligned. Praise God, you know, like they sang that old song, Telephone to Glory, oh, what joy divine. Praise God. Well, we can hear the message, praise God, coming from a far country, praise God, coming from heaven many times. Minister of God be waking up in the middle of the night, and maybe God would give him just a word or maybe a couple words, and he'd begin to think upon those words, and he began to dig into the Word of God, and he began to see things that he never saw before, and he began to preach under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He began to tell the great things of God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when the rushing mighty wind blew in that house, praise God, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and the Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. I tell you, God was moving, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And then when this was noised abroad, the Bible said the multitude came together and were confounded. You know, I believe they spoke in tongues in that upper room, and I don't know if it was a language the Bible said or not, all these Galileans, and how hear we ever man in our own language. You know, when they first received it, I believe they were all Galileans, Brother Yearwood. Praise God, that was in that upper room. And they must have been speaking in a language that they didn't know. Praise God. But when that multitude came together, they were confounded because they heard every man in their own language wherein they were born. And they began to tell of the many different languages that they were speaking in. Peter said, they're not drunk, as you suppose. Praise God. But see, they was getting a message from heaven. Praise God. Now, I don't know how all this works, to tell you the truth, but I know God dispatches angels when we need help. He will send his angel. Praise God. And many times he'll watch over you. That angel of the Lord will come and watch over you and protect you when things are going bad. And many times on the highway, I believe many people have been spared by the angels coming down and just in time, you know, coming on the scene and helping that person. Praise God. And I tell you, I want angels all around me. Praise God, as I go through this life, you know. And I praise God that, that there's been times that I almost got taken out of this world. But you know, God, I believe had his angels around me because I had aunts and uncles that was praying for me when I was out there in sin. And God spared my life several times when I was in automobile wrecks. One time I fell in the water and I couldn't swim. I was a little boy. And I was going down for the third time. And it was a steep bank there, and we was fishing. I don't know, I fell in somehow. And my brother reached down, got me by the hair of the head, and pulled me out. And I don't know how he done it, but he did. Praise God. You know, angels will give you strength, and the power of God will come on you and give you strength. And, you know, I believe the Holy Ghost is right there where the angels are, praise God. And the Spirit of God is with those angels, praise God. And, you know, many times people have seen angels. And, you know, like Brother Samples was saying, that some have entertained angels unaware. You know, in many of our church meetings, I believe angels are standing there and they're watching, praise God, and they're watching and they're looking and they're making a record of what's going on, because someday there's going to be a record, and God's going to have our record, my friend. He's going to know everything about you. We now see through a glass darkly, but when we face God, he's going to tell us the whole story, praise God. He's going to tell us if we die in sin, he's going to tell us where we have failed him and where we have sinned and where we have crossed the line and went over into the territories that we shouldn't have went to. Praise God. But I'm so glad that there are angels all around us. Praise God. I want to read something here. Acts chapter 7. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. You know, I believe where angels are, it's holy ground. I believe when we go into the church service and we're gathered in the name of Jesus, I believe the angels are watching every service that we are in. And that place is holy ground, and it is the house of God. And just like Jacob said, that it was a place, a dreadful place. In other words, he was astonished when he saw that ladder. Like Brother John was preaching, how that ladder reached into heaven. And he said, this is none other than the house of God. And I tell you, it'll pay to go to the house of God, because there's help in God's house. Praise God. Yeah. That I've seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. And I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. Praise God. So we know that Moses could not have done what he done if he hadn't had that angel that went before him, and that angel that protected him and kept him. And he was a pillar of a fire by night and was a cloud by day. Praise God. And I tell you, I don't think Moses ever actually saw the face of God, but I know that God spoke to Moses face to face. And, you know, he spoke to him between the cherubims there on the mercy seat there. When he would go into the tabernacle, there was two cherubims that would that were on top of that mercy seat, and God would speak right there to Moses. Praise God. But I don't know that he ever actually saw his face, praise God, because I think Jesus said no man has seen God at any time there in John chapter 1. But I think he's talking about the face of God. You know, the Bible said there that only the pure in heart shall see God. You know, when Jesus has delivered everything back to the Father, and when it's all over and the wicked and the sin has all been cleansed away, and I believe that Jesus will judge this world, praise God. And you know, when it's all done and over with, he's going to give it back to the Father. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, praise God. We're going to dwell there if we've obeyed God and we've walked with him. Praise God. I'm going to try to get another scripture here. Acts 7. I was reading out of the book of Acts, chapter 7. And this is where Stephen was being accused and they were getting ready to stone him. It says here, Stephen said in verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Like it was a saying, the Holy Ghost is there when the Lord's there, when the angels are there. The Holy Ghost is there. He's trying to convict men and of their sins and trying to turn them around. The Bible said no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost will reveal Jesus unto people. And, you know, when I went into the church and I finally before I got right with God, I'd go and I'd watch them, and I thought there was something going on in that church. I thought, what is going on here? I seen them praying for people. I seen them falling out in the floor, and I heard them speaking with tongues, and I said, what is going on, you know? And people was coming back and testifying how that they was healed of different things, and I said, this is different than what I ever heard about, you know, or known. I went to the Church of God when I was a little boy, but I didn't remember all that stuff that went on down there. And I'm sure they was falling out probably and everything, and people was being healed of different things and testifying. But, you see, I was just a little boy, and I didn't pay no attention much to that, praise God. And the only thing I can remember is one time my uncle was praying at the altar, and he jumped up from that altar and turned around like a wild man, and he ran right across them pews right back towards me. And right over top of my head, and on out the back he went, praise God. And there ain't no way he could have done that in just being, just thinking about it. You know what I mean? It had to be the Spirit of God that was on him that moved him that way, praise God. But I remember that, but I didn't remember, you know, people being prayed for and falling out and all that. But I said, there's something here. I said, that's either witchcraft or they really got it, you know. So I began to study the Word of God, and I found out that they had the right thing, praise God. But it says here, he said, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it, praise God. So they had received the law, praise God, there in the Old Testament. God was using angels, and angels were bringing messages and coming down and telling them what to do, praise God. And you know, when Jesus came, I believe a lot of that changed, because now we're to hear what Jesus said. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not looking for angels to come to my house, but if they do, I'd be glad to see one. But if he came for the right reason, I was thinking there in the book of Numbers, there was a man by the name of Balaam. And you know, Balaam disobeyed God, and he was going to try to curse the children of God. And you know, they sent for him and said, come. And said, curse the children of God. And they said, we see that whatever you bless is blessed, and whatever you curse is cursed. And we want you to curse these people. But I want you to know the angel of God stood in the way before Balaam, and Balaam didn't even know it. Balaam didn't know that the angel was there with his sword drawn, and the animal that he was riding on, that donkey he was riding on kept turning out of the way, and Balaam was getting upset. And he was a-whooping on that donkey. And, you know, that donkey started to speak with a man's voice. I don't know how he done it, but he did. And he spoke with a man's voice. Balaam finally got, God got Balaam's attention. And Balaam got some fear on him then, praise God. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, verse 34 of chapter 22, it says, And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it please thee, I will get me back again. You know, a lot of people need to get back again. They need to get back in the place that they once was when they were serving God. They don't want the angels standing in the way with sword drawn. Balaam knowed, if he had known that that angel was going to stand in the way with that sword drawn, he'd have never went over there to curse the people of God. Now, I'll tell you what, when you go to cursing the people of God and you go to coming again, God's people, there may be an angel meet you one day, and it won't be a good thing. You know, that angel could have killed Balaam that day, but he spared his life. But I tell you what, we read in the Bible where angels have came down, and they've killed armies, praise God, killed thousands of people in one night. They're in the Old Testament, and I know one time I was reading how they surrounded this city, praise God, and the prophet was in that city, and this army, this natural army had surrounded that city, and the young man looked out and seen all them, all that army surrounding that city, and he began to fear. But the man of God told him, said, Lord, open his eyes. And, you know, the Lord opened his eyes, and he looked, and they was an army in the mountains. There was the army of God. And I'm glad that sometimes, you know, it'll take somebody helping us, and we need the Lord to help us. And he can send somebody down the road, or he can send an angel. Whatever it takes, God is able to do what he said he would do, and he will do what he said he would do. Praise God. He opened up the Red Sea for Moses. That angel came and opened up that Red Sea, and I tell you, there's nothing impossible with God. And I want you to be encouraged if you're out there today. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to get on the Lord's side. I don't want you to get on the side that, you know, when the Lord comes back, he's going to find you wanting and weighed in the balance. But I want you to get down somewhere and find you an altar and begin to pray. That's the way that men and women in time past, and today, if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to get you an altar and get down. You're going to have to get on the Lord's side. You're going to have to get on the side that pleases the Lord. Balaam got on the wrong side of God, and, you know, he was a prophet, and he had prophesied. It goes on and tells us the story here, how he prophesied, and he prophesied things that was to come to pass, the things that that ain't happened yet, praise God. But he was a true prophet, I believe, of God starting out. But, you know, he crossed the line, and we can cross the line. I don't care how good a person you are. If you get on the wrong side of God, you're going to get in trouble. I want to encourage you to get back tonight. God loves you, and God sent his son. He died for you. And there's no reason for you to die lost. There's no reason for you to end up in the lake of fire, because Jesus has paid it all. I tell you, he paid the price that we could never pay. And he stretched out his arms, and he's still stretching out his arms, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'll turn it back there to you, Brother Yearwood, and it's been good to be with you. I'll be on here listening in.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Green. I'm sorry about that interruption there. That music, my computer went out on me, so I wrecked over to smack it there to get it to lighten back on. And when I did, music started. So
okay.
We'll go ahead and play this song, then we'll give our prayer request and pray over them and after this song here. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that song there. You can have a prayer request there. Brother Green, you need to let be made known.
I just keep praying for our loved ones that's lost, that they come in. We're not on the computer right now, so we don't know. There's probably people out there that have a lot of needs. We just need to lift them up. Many different things like sickness and, things that's happening to people. Many lost souls we need to pray for.
Man, praise the Lord. Brother John?
Yeah, brother. I've got a man by the name. All I know him is his name is Tex. He had a colonoscopy. We need to remember him in prayer. Remember my wife tonight. She got flu. Remember Edward Adams? He had a colonoscopy. Got a little 2-year-old girl by the name of Ava. She's having bowel problems. And just want to remember the outreach of the revival. And there's a woman that has macular degeneration, which is like the crystallized of the eyes, and she's blind, and she needs help from the Lord. So just remember, as Brother Green said, our lost loved ones, and just people will come back to the church, they return back to the Lord, that their hearts will return back to the Father, and, Father will come, and that we be a part of this. It's just this end-time revival. Amen. Reaching out and harvesting and just reaping, and I'm looking like Isaac did. I think it's in somewhere in Genesis 26:5. That might not be the exact chapter and verse, but it talks about he planted and he got a hundredfold increase that year. So I'm looking for every seed that we're planting tonight to bring a hundredfold harvest and increase tonight. through this revival and outreach. Amen. So that's what we're praying for.
Amen. I tell you what, this revival, I just thinking, you know, there's a lot of revivals goes on, but this is a revival that has covered the whole world, and many, many different countries. These countries that I never had even heard of until whenever we were able to look at them and see the countries and the places that we were going into, I never heard a lot of them. So, you know, I just thank God that we're going in to other places. It's not just stopping right here in Madisonville or Thompson, Georgia, or up in Springboro, Ohio, but it's covering the world. And I thank God for this, and thank God for the message that God has given us to put out on the air. So I'm going to let Betty read our prayer request, and we'll go to the Lord and pray.
Let's remember Lloyd Ray's family tonight, his first cousin. They're having his funeral right now as we're speaking. So remember that family tonight. Remember the Corky McDonald family. They lost their loved one, and the Massengale family lost their 17-year-old daughter this week in a car accident. Let's remember the Junior Clark family. They lost one of their loved ones this week. And let's continue to pray for Pastor Saeed that's in an Iranian prison for the cause of being a Christian. And he's got his wife and two small kids over here in the States, so let's remember them. Let's remember Kevin Miller's mom, Pat, that has cancer, and let's remember Kevin Miller's family. Let's remember Martha and Roy Sexton. They need a healing in their body. Our five kids need to be saved. And let's remember Fred Branham. He's getting really weak with cancer, and he's needing a miracle. Keith Green, he needs a miracle from cancer. And David Keller has cancer. Let's remember a woman by the name of Daisy. And let's remember this revival this week, as Brother John said. And let's remember Martha Garcia that had the surgery, and she's been in a lot of pain since she had the surgery. And remember the boy that has asthmatic bronchitis, a man by the name of John that's having surgery, Laura McKnight healing, Brother John's grandson that has two types of cancer. We're just going to believe that God's going to heal that. Of Ricky Samples that has a disease, Heather that has stomach problems, and let's remember Sister Frida and Sister Gladys tonight, and Brother Eddie Bolton.
Praise the Lord. So let's just talk about the Lord in prayer. And
amen. Hallelujah, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord.
She got something else. Lord.
You, Father, we ask you, Lord, to move, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Only
God.
Father, Lord Jesus, we come in agreement right now, Father, Lord. Everyone, request, Father, Lord, we just ask you, God, that you reach out. Lord, every request, Father, we just ask God that you will just touch them. Lord, that you will heal, Father. We curse these cancers, Lord, to the root. And Father, we speak the word, God, of healing, God. Every request is given your tonight. Father, we know that you, God, that have all power in heaven and earth. And Lord, we believe in you, God, that you're going to just touch and heal, Father. Lord, that you will just move, God. And Father, Lord, that you will touch each and every one of them. God, every one of them, Father, that has headaches and everything. God, we pray, Father, that you will just touch them. Lord, that you will heal, Father, make them home. And Father, this family, God, Lord, that is lost. God, we pray, Father, that you reach down, that you will touch them, Father. And Lord, that Reach down, God, that you'll give them peace. Our Lord, each and every one of them, God, has lost a loved one of this peace, God. We pray, Father, for touch them, set them free, God, and deliver them, God. Give them the peace and the comfort that they need, Lord.
Father, today the peace is moving the forward fields, the mission fields, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God for this opportunity and this opportunity just to obey the Lord. So I'm going to try to obey him here for a little bit by God's help. So just keep me in your prayers because I've got something that's really tickled my throat at times and gets me started to coughing. And also, too, I'll say this. Remember me for Wednesday because I've got to walk that treadmill there Wednesday to check my heart. But as I've said, and I still believe that everything is going to be all right. I don't believe they're going to find anything wrong with my heart. I believe God done took care of it if there was anything wrong with it. Praise God.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Praise the Lord. You know, I thank God tonight. First of all, he said that he filled the place with his glory. And you know, the whole earth is filled with his glory tonight. If people will only take heed to the glory of God and take heed and come up to where the Lord is wanting them to be. You know, God is not cut his self slack, but his spirit has filled whatever that he desires. And he has filled the whole earth. Just like Brother Green was mentioning there a while ago about wherein they were sitting in the upper room about the presence of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said they filled the whole house wherein they were speaking. That was the presence and that was the power of the Holy Ghost that went in there. And praise God, it filled each one of them. And they all, I believe, spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I believe, praise God, that Peter, whenever he stepped out there, and he told them, he said, they're not drunk on wine as you suppose. But this is the Spirit of God. This is the new wine that they're drunk on. Praise God. And I was thinking over there, praise God, there in Acts 2 and 8, the Spirit, one time I was going in to have some address cards written up, brought up there, and the Lord spoke to me about 2 and 8, and I said, Lord, I don't even know what Acts 2 and 8 was. And I said that that's not nothing about any baptism or anything like that. I was wondering what he said. And I went in. I told the man there that I was talking to that was going to make my cards and I figured he'd just write down on the card 2 and 8. And so I didn't even have my Bible with me. And he said, I've got one up here somewhere. I will find. And you know, whenever I got my cards back, This was several years ago. This was before I even thought about that I'd be a preaching all over the world. But it said this, and now here, and how here we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And you know, I got to studying after I found out about that. I said, what in the world this means? I didn't realize that ever that I was going to be speaking all over the world. But praise God, I'm glad that he gave me that. And I had that on my address cards for many years. I passed out thousands of them. I tell you what, and I felt that, praise God, that God was doing something. But then one day, the door come open for me to preach on WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee, covering the whole world. Then I started getting letters from different nations and from different places. And I thought, well, that's what that meant. That's what God was getting me ready for several years ago. Then I went in to a church down in Dalton, Georgia, one time. Well, I lived down there, but I went to that church many times. But I went there this one time, and I ministered. And after I got done and the church service was over with, the pastor come up to me, and he told me, he said, "Brother," he said, "I heard you speaking in Spanish, as clear as you was if you'd have been born in our own country." And another brother come by, and he told me, he said, "Brother, I heard you preaching in a beautiful language of Spanish." And they were two brothers. They were two Spanish. They come here from Mexico, and they was brought up over there. They raised in that language. And praise God. I said, "Well, brothers," I said, "if I'd done it," I said, "it had to be God," because I said, I even flunked English. And praise God, I know that God will move. Hallelujah. I had another brother pray for me several years ago. He told me, he said, "Whatever country, whatever language that you speak in," he said, "they will hear you in their own language." And praise God, I got to reading that verse, and I got to thinking, God, you're bound to be fulfilling the scripture. You bound to be, because I don't know how that I could preach in them languages. I get letters from Ukraine, Russia. I have to go and get another brother to interpret for me because I don't know their language. But praise God, he reads it for me, and he tells me what they say. And I thank God tonight. I praise God that God is sending this message out across of this land, and I believe each and every one, praise God, that's a preaching on this radio broadcast, I believe you're speaking into their countries, into their language. I believe God is translating for us, because if he translated for me a time or two, my friend, I believe everybody that comes on this radio, I believe their language will be translated into God's word, into them countries wherein they were born. Hallelujah. I believe every man is hearing tonight the words in their own language wherein they were born. Everyone that speaketh, I believe they speak in their country in the language wherein that they were born, because God has given us an invitation to reach the world for Christ. He said that he qualified them that he called. He called you and I to reach the world for Christ, and he's called you. He's qualified you to preach his word, and he ain't going to send his word out void, but it's going to accomplish what he sent forth for it to do, and it's not going to return back devoid. Praise God. He's going to, praise God. Paul said over there, he said, if they all spoke with tongues, they'd think that they were crazy. But praise God, I believe tonight that the people, they've got to hear what does says God. He said this message must be preached into all the world. And when it's preached into all the world, he said he would soon come back. Praise God. He's got you and I tonight in this revival, reaching the world. Our language, it's not just going out there and people hearing and not understanding, but there's people understanding what does says God. I prophesy that tonight to you, my friend. Praise God, you might wonder what it's all about. I don't know what it's all about, but I do know that God said it, and if he said it, I believe it, and I believe whatever he says, I will stand. I believe that he's going to move for you and I. I believe that we're going to reach out and touch people. I believe there's going to be people saved. It don't matter. I was talking to a man today. He said, I've never heard. I heard a pastor tell me today. I said, I've never heard of an internet revival. But I said, you hear one now. Praise God. I'm so thankful that God has set up an internet revival. And I've heard, he told me, he said, this probably won't be the last. And I tell you what, and Brother John was saying there last night, this probably won't be the last. And I don't feel like that it will. I praise God. I feel like God is opening up doors for people to minister around the world. I feel like people got to hear what does saith God. He sent us forth, my friend, from this part of the country, to reach the world for Christ. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful tonight that we are serving a living God. This message is about angels, our voices. I believe God's translating our voices into an angel to go into people, that people are hearing what the Spirit say unto the churches this day. I believe the Spirit of God is being translated from you, my friend. Wouldn't you like to know how you would sound in another language? I tell you what, it would be wonderful. But God is moving, and I know that God is doing it because it's not Lloyd Yearwood, but it's God. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord tonight for this. Hallelujah. I'm going to let Betty read some more. Praise God.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well hear with him, well bear with him. For I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I had rude in speech, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you, I wanted and was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me in his boasting. In the region of Asia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We heard there what the word was saying. You know, the devil transformed himself into an angel of light. And, you know, I believe that's the reason why the word tells us over there in, praise God, over there in, hallelujah, in 1 John, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try them and see whether they're of God. I tell you what, tonight, my friend, the devil has got power, but he only has the power that we let him have. And he can transform himself into an angel of life. We need to know the Spirit of God. We need to know, praise God, that we can call upon the Lord, and he will hear, and he will answer, and he will let us know the real Spirit. Praise God. See what we can stay in the Word. We'll know if we are in the right spirit or not. We'll know, praise God, if it's the right message or not, because God's Word, hallelujah, will be telling us what to do. We can be walking in the Spirit of God. We can talk in His Spirit because His anointing, my friend, will lead us. His anointing will guide us. And His anointing of the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us and teach us into all the truth. We can know the true angel. Praise God. I'm so thankful tonight that we that are born again of God. We know the true Spirit of God. We know whenever the deceitful spirit come along, when the devil comes and tries to tempt us, try to get us to turn around, then we know, praise God, that his spirit is not of God, because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and strangers they'll not follow. We'll know the Spirit of God, my friend, and we can turn to the true Spirit. I tell you what, I thank God tonight that we don't have to follow after every spirit of wind and doctrine. I know there's a lot of people that does, a lot of people that gets deceived. They receive another's doctrine that they've not received. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. It's time that we receive a right spirit. It's time that we receive that spirit of salvation, and we walk there in it, that we hold on to it, praise God, because if we don't, we'll be deceived. The devil would like to transform himself into an angel of life and deceive many. But praise God, I'm glad tonight to know, hallelujah, that we don't have to be deceived. The Bible teaches there in one place, I said, though it be an angel come from heaven, preaching any other gospel than this that you received, I said, let it be a curse. I tell you what, tonight, my friend, Have we received the true Spirit? Have we received God? And if you've asked the Lord to come into your life, I know the Lord has come in, and all you've got to do is hold on to that first Spirit that you received, because you know that whenever you was born, you was born into sin. But praise God, whenever you ask the Lord to come into your life, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't care what country you're in, what state you're in, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're different from that first spirit, of that spirit of Satan that had you bound. And my friend, all you got to do is to hold on to that first love. I know the Bible teaches over in Revelation that there's, he said, so remember, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you're losing your first love, then you need to cry out like David did. God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. A lot of times I have to cry out, Lord, just return unto me the joy of my salvation. Because I tell you what, the devil, he's out there like a roaring lion, but he's not the lion. He just roars like it. Praise God, but I'm so thankful tonight to know, hallelujah, who the King of Kings is and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, if we'll hold on to his unchanging hand, we'll make it. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm so thankful tonight, hallelujah, praise God, that God has ministering angels that will minister to us, that will take us through, hallelujah, the problems that we may have, the troubles that we may have rise up against us. Praise God, the Lord has an angel that he can dispatch to you. I tell you what, whenever the devil starts raging and starts coming against you, all that stuff, all you got to do is just cry out, Lord, it's down, it's me down here again. I'm in trouble. I need an angel to come my way. Just send an angel. Praise God, and the Lord will send an angel to you. He will dispatch your troubles away from you. He said he would deliver you. He said he heard your cry, and if he hears our cries, he deliver us out of our troubles. What else have we got to worry about? Praise God, if he be for you, who can be against you? I tell you, I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that I've got a Savior that loved me even whenever I was out in sin, whenever I was out there in the world doing all the stuff that I was doing. He still loved me. He still called on me, and he told me that he died for me. And he said, all you got to do is call up on me, and I will answer. Praise God, I'm glad that I met up with a brother, the brother Clayton Brown down in Dalton, Georgia, and the brother Spradlin from down in South Georgia. They were having a revival at brother Clayton Brown's church, and he called. And he come and they come to me at the midnight hour. Praise God. I believe about 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, January 2 o'clock on that Sunday morning, 19th, 1975. They come and they called upon the Lord for me, and the Lord forgive me of my sins. I tell you, I've been changed since then. I tell you, I never have a desire to go back to the drugs, a desire to go back to the paint thinner, a desire to go back into what I used to do. Thank God. God set me free. He delivered me. Hallelujah. And I praise God for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to let Betty read some more. Hallelujah.
Hebrews 13:1-2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware.
Praise God. You see there? Praise God. Just read that one more time.
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Praise God. You see, he said there some have entertained angels unawares. You know, praise God, we don't know a lot of times somebody that comes along that is hungry or somebody that comes along that needs a room or bed or something, we might take them in or we might take them to the inn just like, praise God, just like that man that fell among the thieves and everything that night, and he was laying there and a couple of them passed by him. And they crossed over on the other side of the road, and they passed by and just left him laying there. But here come one by, and he picked him up and put him on his own beast, and he took him down there to the inn. And that was a man that heed to the gospel. That was a man that heed to the Lord. He took that man down there, and he put him in that room, and he told him, he said, you take care of him. And he said, and I pass back through. If he owes you anything, I will pay. That man was entertaining an angel. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. We might do the very same thing. We don't need to say that we don't need to help them. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. An angel is of God. An angel, hallelujah, we don't need to rush off. We need to watch, and we need to pray. We need to hear the voice of God. God won't lead us wrong. He won't tell us to do something. Praise God, that's not that he'd be pleased of. He'll tell us what to do, and he'll tell us, he'll lead us, and he'll guide us. Don't be harsh to an angel. They're the man that we take care of, that stranger, might be the very angel that God has sent to us. Praise God to deliver us with our troubles or something. I tell you what, you know, I heard this, and I know you've probably heard it a lot of times, but you know, there was a man come up one time to this church, and he sat down there, and this man was sitting on the step. And the Lord said to him, I said, what are you doing? He said, I've been trying to go in, and I can't get in. They won't let me in. And the Lord told him, he said, I've been trying for 20 years to get in there. I've not got in there yet. I want to tell you something, my friend. People needs to let the Lord in whenever he comes a knocking. Praise God. We need to undertake of the angels and watch what God says for us to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see. Let's read one more verse.
Numbers 22. And we're going to start in verse 19. Verse 19. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me, or say unto me more. And God said unto, and God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again.
Praise the Lord. We see there that, Brother Green done covered that there a while ago pretty good, so I'm not going to try to add nothing to that part, but, you know, I just felt led to have that read there a little bit, so I want you to turn over there to that scripture that will bless everybody. I feel like before we go off, just bless everybody. Bless, read the scriptures. Bless the whole world like we did once before. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, don't let's. Okay, praise the Lord. Brother Green?
Yeah, Brother Yearwood.
Go ahead and make the church announcement and everything or what we're trying to find this first time. We'll get Brother John to.
Okay, I'll let Joanna tell you about it.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. We go to Heavenly Highway Tabernacle, 5990 Michael Road, West Middletown, Ohio. And it's Pastor Billy Wilson and Pastor Merle Seeley. We'd love to have everyone come out that lives in our area if you don't have a church to go to.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Brother John? Brother John? Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to find another preacher. Okay, I feel led. We've only got about 4 minutes left, so right here's some scriptures that I want Betty to read. For, you know, God had a prophet that blessed all of his people and everything. In the Old Testament before they left, so I feel led to speak this over the whole world tonight and just bless them all. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Number 6, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Praise God. Now, I just asked you, I felt led to do that, and I just asked you to receive that word tonight and take that blessing from God, because God has blessed you with his word. So I just praise the Lord for it. So, Brother John, have you got back in there yet? Praise God. Hallelujah. We must have lost him. Sister Joanne, we've got about 3 minutes left. You want to obey the Lord there?
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. And, you know, I thank God for the opportunity to be able to talk to the world. And I was thinking about how you was ministering there and how, you know, we entertain angels unaware. And I was driving down the road one day. It took me about 30 minutes to drive to my job. This is before I met Brother Green. And I was a single lady and saved and serving God with all everything in me, just like, you know, ever since I got saved like I do. And I just do everything I can to please God. And there was a gentleman I remember that wanted to court me, I guess you can say, And I never would accept, but I told him that I go to church, and he wanted to know where I go to church. And you know, I was driving to work one day, and I was had my gospel music playing on in the radio, and just out of the blue, this word came to me audibly. It was a man's voice, and I wasn't sure. It didn't scare me, and I remember I looked in the back of my rearview mirror to see if someone had gotten in the car with me. I didn't feel any fear, but I thought surely somebody was in there with me. But I looked in the mirror, there was nobody there, and there was surely nobody in the passenger seat. And I turned the music up just a little bit louder because I thought, well, that's just me. And then I heard the voice again speak this word. And then the next day after church, that man had came to church and went out to eat to McDonald's. He met the church there as we always would go. We would call it our fellowship hall, McDonald's. And he met over there, and he was doodling on a sheet of paper. And he wrote the word down that I had heard audibly in my car. And it was not a good word. It wasn't a bad word. But the word was hooter. And I looked it up in the dictionary, my mother and I, and it meant that someone tooting their own horn. And a hoot is a hoot owl. They hoot all the time. And so the hooter was someone tooting their own horn, meaning that they wasn't for real. They may be in double-minded or, you know, the Bible talks about someone that speaks out both ends of their mouth being double-minded. Man is unstable in all of his ways. And so the Lord warned me, praise God. And not long after that, I met Brother Green, praise God, which is the love of my life, Jesus Christ first, and then, praise the Lord, my husband I love so dearly. So if God speaks to you out there, if you're looking for a spouse, you better listen to God because he will sure speak to you, whether it be audibly, whether he'll send an angel by your way, whether in the Word of God. You better listen to God because if you get with the wrong person, it won't work out. And that's what I got to say, Brother Yearwood. I thank the Lord for his voice. And I thank God I heard it that day. Praise the Lord. He'll sure warn you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we just now went off, so thank God, and we'll be at Talking Teens tomorrow night. Lord's willing, it don't happen. We've got two more nights of this revival. So just keep us in prayer about it there. And,
Amen.
God is love is what we're going to be speaking on tomorrow night. So just keep us in your mind on that. So God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless.
Bye.